and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. Now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. You are the potter and we are the clay. You can take us and make us. And if you don't like the way we look, you can break us and remake us. Are you ready to be made, broken, remade? What's God's blueprint for your life? Oh, well, Pastor, you know, I'm in the golden years of my life. My blueprint's been established, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Corey Ten Boom. How many of you have heard of Corey Ten Boom? She was over 50 years old before she ever went off to the Nazi prison camp and started her ministry. Over 50 years old before she and then decided to live her life for Christ and ended up in a Nazi prison camp. Interesting thing about her ministry. God would tell her to go someplace. She didn't know anybody there. Didn't know why she was going, just that she was going. She would fly into the airport and sit in the airport wonder why I'm here. Until somebody would come along and say, are you Ms. Ten Boom? Yes. God told us you'd be here. We've got some meetings we'd like you to come to. I mean, she'd fly all over the world like this, not knowing why or where she was, you know, who she was going to be with, just that she was going to go. That's the kind of God we serve, and you don't, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. What matters is, are you relying on your intellect? Or are you relying on the Holy Spirit of God to guide you? Who are you relying on? What wheel are you on? Are you on your own wheel? Are you on the potter's wheel? What blueprints are you following? You know, you can't build a building without a decent set of blueprints. Blueprints carry all the necessary information to build something. And there's different sheets. The A sheets are the architectural drawings. The E sheets are the electrical. The S sheets are the structural. And you have to be able to combine those sheets, because each set is important to the entire structure. Now, I don't read blueprints very well. So, you hand me a set of blueprints, and I'm going to look at them, and it's not going to do me a whole lot of good, because I don't do that well. But if you hand those to a carpenter, a contractor, or an architect, and they sit down and they read those blueprints, they can tell you what the structure is going to be like. and how to build it. And see, when God designed you, He had a set of blueprints for your life. Why? Because His plans are set for your life. He has a will for you. And unfortunately, most of us, it takes us a while before we allow Him to work with the blueprint for our life. Some of us never do. We follow our own will and ignore God's will. And where do we end up? We end up in hell when we do that. And some of us kind of go through hell on this earth because we ignore God's blueprint. But when we finally bring our lives into line with God's blueprint and allow His Holy Spirit to structure our life, He begins to pour out blessings on us. The Bible says there aren't room enough to receive. He begins to open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings on us. Why? Because now we're standing in the doorway of blessing. We're standing where God wants us to be. Oh, it doesn't mean the enemy won't try to attack you, but what God does is He becomes a shield for us. Ephesians chapter 6, we're not going to stay there long. This is a word for somebody, I don't know who exactly. You say, well, this is kind of a strange service. Yes, it is. It may get stranger before it's over, too. Ephesians 6:13, take up the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Some of you know about the armor of God. You know a whole lot about the armor of God, but you're not putting it on. You've got your nice armor and you're keeping it nice and clean and you're keeping it nice and polished in your closets, and get it out of your closet and get it on, because you're getting attacked all the time, and the enemy is taking you and he's tearing you around. He's tearing you up. He's hitting you from all sides, and you're wondering what's happening all the time. And I'm telling you now, you need to get that armor out of the closet and get it on. And you need to put it on every day. You need to put it on all the time. You need to get that shield of faith out in front of you. You need to get that sword of the Spirit swinging back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. You need to get into the Word every morning, because it's the Word, the sword, that's going to cut the enemy out of your life. And I don't know who that word's for, but it is just coming up out of the inside of me that the devil is tearing you up because you are not putting on your armor. And you can't stand in the flow of blessing because you're too busy getting beat up. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He has made known his way to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us for our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God's benefits are greater than anything that any man could imagine. That is God's benefit plan that we just read. You know, when you go get a job, one of the things that people always ask is, well, what are the benefits of this place? Well, I'm telling you what, when you come to God, you got a benefit plan that will outshine anything that any man is ever going to offer you. And I just read it to you. Amen? I mean, God's benefit plan is better than anything any man will ever offer you. He forgives all your iniquities. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Amen. That your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. There, those of you that are feeling like you're too old to do something, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Keep your Bibles there. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, don't you love those buts in here? But, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's for you. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. You can mark that one down. Young people might fall out, but you're not going to if you'll just wait on the Lord. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. All who are oppressed. You know, Jesus, we see in Acts, but we see Jesus of Nazareth who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. Jesus said, you can do everything I did. We can go around and we can do good and heal all who are oppressed of the devil, and the Lord executes righteousness righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed, and he uses us to do it. Amen? Amen? And I'm telling you, that's a benefit. Why? Because there is nothing that will set you free like the feeling that you get when God uses you to set somebody free. You say, well, Pastor, are you telling that this is an emotional thing? I'm saying that when God uses you to set somebody free, it will turn you loose. Amen? And if it's emotional, then so be it. It's fun. He removes your sins and your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. That's a long way. Those two don't ever come together. I mean to tell you, we benefit with a fantastic God. He forgives everything we've ever done. He has forgiven us. The moment that you accept Christ as your Savior, you don't have a history. Hallelujah. It's like he just takes your history and erases it. It's gone. The moment, it's gone. He heals all your diseases. Every disease has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every disease, every and that word itself, dis-ease, is a terrible thing. And every single one of those lying things from the enemy has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you now, by the Spirit, that you're going to see very soon, and I'm not talking about, oh, this is going to happen years from now. You're going to see this happen directly. You're going to see this happen directly. Where miracles of healing are going to become very commonplace. Very commonplace in the church. The churches that are moving in the Spirit. See, we've been talking about things are going to change, things are going to change. Things have changed. I mentioned this in class the other night. Things have changed. The change has already happened. It's up to us to figure it out now. God has moved on behalf of his people. And You're starting to see a different atmosphere. All I can tell you is be ready. Be ready. It's not going to be church as usual. Do you know God provides for every contingency, every single contingency? contingency in His plan. His plan provides for every single thing that could happen. No matter what could happen, He provides for it. When Jesus came and spent 3 years walking around with the disciples to teach us how to live, teach them how to live, teach us how to live, teach mankind how to live, did you ever notice that He never got stymied? He never got to the place where He didn't know what to do next. He always knew what to do. They, in Luke chapter 4, He was preaching and He announced His ministry. And I don't know, somebody or another yesterday was talking about that. In Luke 4:18, which of course he was reading out of Isaiah 61. But when He announced His ministry, of course, the rabbis and the people in the synagogue were not very happy with Him. And so, in verse 29 in Luke 4, they rose up and thrust Him out of the city, and they led Him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built. They might throw Him down over the cliff. Now see, this is a man that's in trouble. They're fixing to throw Him off the cliff. And most of us would go, I don't know what to do now. But He, passing through the midst of them, He went His way. He just walked off through the crowd. See ya. Guys, have a good time. What are you doing up there? Y'all up there on the cliff, I'll see ya. See, He never got to the place where He didn't know what to do. That's a situation where most of us wouldn't know what to do. If you all grabbed a hold of me because I'm preaching this sermon and decided to take me out and hang me, you know, there are times in my life where I wouldn't have known what to do. But now I do whatever God told me to do. I mean, that's basically what happened here. The congregation decided they didn't like what He preached. And what made the difference? Because He was a man who was constantly filled with the Holy Ghost. He was constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't on one time I was filled with the Holy Spirit back in 1942. It wasn't one time. It wasn't You know, I was raised in a church where they believed in being baptized in the Holy Ghost, and if you got worked up enough, you might even pray in tongues. If you got excited. Paul said in Corinthians, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than y'all. Why? Because you got to be constantly filled so you know what to do next. I mean, this was a man that he enumerated how many times he'd been beat, how many times he'd been in prison. He'd been through shipwrecks. He'd been through snake bite. He'd been through, you name it, he went through it practically. The only reason he didn't get shot is because they didn't have guns back then. And yet he kept going and going and going and going and going and going. Why? Because he was filled with the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. Do you suppose when Jesus, here in Matthew, after he healed the whole town, remember the night that the whole town came out to Peter's mother-in-law's house and Jesus healed the whole town, and then it says that early the next morning before daylight he got up and went out to pray. You suppose he went out and said, oh God, I don't know what to do now. You suppose that's how he prayed? He was out there praying in tongues, man. Heard one of the neatest stories about praying in tongues last night I've heard in a long time. Young man, Fred. I don't know if you know Fred's last name. Took a team from YWAM to one of the former Soviet nations. Not one Christian in the nation. This was right after just as the Soviet bloc was falling apart. Not one Christian in the nation. They were, the only religion there was Muslim. And the Lord said, I want you to take a team and go to this country. Do you remember the name of the country? Abu Dhabi? Something like that. So they went. Well, they got there. They didn't know what to do. The Lord didn't tell them what to do. So there they are. They're in this country. They didn't know what to do. He told them to go, but he didn't tell them what to do. So they're there, and they're praying. And there was a fountain or a watering place where everybody came to get their water in town, and two of them, Fred and this other guy, were down there one morning. And an older man came out to get water. The Lord said, I want you to speak to him in tongues. Fred said, oh Lord, that's silly. He said, no, I want you to speak to him in tongues. I don't even know why I'm here. Might as well. So he did. The guy got all excited. Said something back to him. Lord said, speak to him again in tongues. All right. So he spoke to him again in tongues, and the guy got more excited. Man, he started chattering a mile a minute. Fred says, next thing I know, the guy's with me starts talking to him in tongues. And that guy's just all excited, and he goes running in the building. What do we do now? I wonder what happened. Pretty soon, this young man comes running out of the building with the old guy, and the young man can speak some broken English. He says, oh, I'm so thankful you came. Are you really going to do what you told my father? Well, let's make sure your dad got it right. What exactly did he tell you what we're going to do? Well, you know, all three things. Oh. Well, which three things did he tell you? We're so glad you can speak our language. Yeah. He said you're going to start a medical clinic and a food program. I don't remember what the third thing was. Medical clinic and a food program were two of the three, and then there was a third thing. But, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Well, the nation was all Muslim. So they started this. This was back in 90 or 91. Well, recently, there was a radio report on the Muslim-run state radio from that nation. And they're really concerned about the huge outbreak of Christianity that's sweeping across that nation. And for some reason, it started in this town where this little fountain was. And they can't understand how this Christianity got started there. Why? Because somebody was obedient to God and was obedient to the Spirit of God. You've got to be filled with the Spirit every day. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time experience. Being filled with the Spirit is once a week in church experience. Being filled with the Spirit, if you're not filled with the Spirit every day, you're missing out on the blessings of God. These blessings, and if you look at your bulletin today, there's a lot more scripture talking about the blessings. But if you look at all the blessings. Look at all the blessings of God. You miss a lot of them if you're not filled with the Spirit. People say, well, do I need to pray in tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Only if you want to experience the fullness. You know, the devil will tell you all kinds of lies. He'll tell you all kinds of lies. And he'll use people to tell you all kinds of lies. There are churches out there that will tell you that the book of Acts, all those things in the book of Acts ended at the end of book Acts. Because the devil's got them convinced that that's the truth. Well, that's not the truth. If that's the truth, why don't we just rip that book out of there and throw it away? And then we'll start with Romans and we'll rip it out and throw it away too. Because none of it works. Yeah, we might as well just throw the whole book away. We might catch something with a gold piece in its mouth. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is as real today and will baptize you as much today as he did in Acts chapter 2. And he still works the same way as he did then, because he's still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And if anybody's told you anything different than that, they're lying. They might not know they're lying, but they're lying. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what the Word says. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? So God can use you. He can fill you. He can bless you. He can anoint you. He can pour himself out through you and to you. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you that you do fill us with your Holy Spirit. I thank you and I praise you that the anointing of God flows through your Holy Spirit. I thank you and I praise you that we're filled with your Spirit. The Spirit of God flows through us to others. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name for every person that's part of this congregation or hears this message today, that the Spirit of the living God would rise up on the inside of them, big and strong and powerful. Yeah.